You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
And now we are going to Iowa, which the Democratic Party in the United States is currently having their first primary race in the state of Iowa to decide the party's candidate for the 2020 presidential race. But before going into the candidates, here's a quick explainer of how parties choose their presidential candidates. But to make things clear and relevant for this year, I will only focus on the Democratic Party. So, to become the nominee of the Democrats, a candidate needs to win enough support from voters from all 50 states and the US's overseas territories, which translates into a majority of delegates at the Democratic National Convention, which this year will be held from July 13th to 16th at Milwaukee in Mississippi. And these delegates are further divided into two, pledged delegates and the unpledged delegates, aka superdelegates. So for pledged delegates, they are elected or chosen at the state or local level with the understanding that they will support a particular candidate at the convention following the results of their state's primary. But superdelegates, who are usually made up by career politicians and party leaders, for example, former or current presidents, representatives at the House of Representatives, senators and governors, and they aren't beholden to the results of the primaries and the caucuses, meaning that they can vote for whoever they want, even those who have dropped out. And in 2020, they only make up 16% of the total delegate vote. But going back up to the pledged delegates, how do party members decide how many of their state's delegates will commit to a certain candidate depends on two ways, by caucusing or a primary. So primaries are very straightforward, in which voters go to a polling place or mail in their ballots or vote remotely. And if a candidate reaches the threshold of getting 15% of the vote, 15% of the votes, because the Democrats use proportional representation, the candidate will get the proportional number of delegates to their vote. And currently, all but four states, which are Iowa, Nevada, Wyoming, and North Dakota, use primaries. And for those four states that I just mentioned, they use caucusing. So, how does caucusing work? And moving into the current Iowa situation, right now, registered Iowan Democrats have turned up to more than 1,000 venues in the state and overseas to caucus. In that venue, a representative for each candidate will be standing in a certain area of that room, and voters have to go and stand in the area where their candidate is represented. So in 2020's case, Joe Biden supporters will be in one corner, Elizabeth Warren's in another, and Bernie Sanders's supporters in another, and so on and so on. And after 30 minutes, there comes the first alignment and the number of votes are counted. If a particular candidate does not attract 15% of the total voters present, they are not seen as quote-unquote viable and are taken off the ballot, leaving their voters free to throw their weight behind another candidate. So, for example, if Michael Bloomberg does not get 15% of supporters in the library in, let's say, Cedar Rapids, he will be eliminated and his supporters are free to do what they want, including choosing another available candidate, or if he or she decides no candidate is good enough, call it a night and go home. Once the bartering for supporters is over, the votes are added up and state delegates are awarded to each candidate proportionately. That in turn determines how many national convention delegates each candidate receives, and the candidate with the most state delegate equivalents will win Iowa. And now onto the candidates for the Iowa primary. Even though some, such as former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, California Senator Kamala Harris, and New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand have dropped out before the Iowa primary, the race for the Democratic nomination is still a crowded field, including former Vice President Joe Biden.
We can't turn 4 years of Donald Trump into an aberration, historical aberration, but 8 years he'll change the country in a way we can't tolerate. We need you, we need you, we need you.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
We win here, We have a path toward victory, and together we will defeat the most dangerous president in modern American history.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Our democracy hangs in the balance. And at this moment, you will decide here in Iowa, what do we do?
And Mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg.
I know there's some ads on TV saying that this is no time to take a risk on anybody new. But I would say at a moment like this, history has taught us we cannot take the risk of meeting a fundamentally new challenge by falling back on the familiar. We can't be afraid.
So, what does the Iowa results mean for the rest of the primary race? Well, on one hand, the result generates momentum for the state's winner, and it could also swing the tone of the race in the favor of the winner's campaign, and it even means the end of someone's campaign. And in history, every winner of a competitive major party presidential nomination contest since 1980, all except one, started off by winning the Iowa caucus, the exception being Bill Clinton in 1992, which he lost to Tom Harkin, who is coincidentally Iowan. Still, take this with a pinch of salt, because Iowa itself, which is rural and demographically more old and white, does not represent the rest of the country demographically, or in retrospect, even reflect the current Democratic Party, which is trying to appeal to voters who are more younger, urban, and are of color. But still, make no mistake, winning or losing the Iowa caucus is a big deal, and the results are crucial not only to the Democratic nomination in July, but to the November election, to whether Donald Trump will be re-elected.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.